This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and I'm joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on today?
Not a lot, to be honest. It's a beautiful day here in Essex, and I am drinking what can only be described as the world's worst coffee. The thing about me is, Chris, if I see something in the supermarket that I've never seen before, I get very excited and think, you know what, Pete? This is going to be a new thing for you. This is going to be a new style of life. This is going to be a new way of existing. You need that vanilla-flavoured coffee granule that you've seen on the coffee shelf. And you buy it, you bring it home, and it's a piece of fucking shit. And then you are, you've just got a can of coffee that you've got to just get yourself through. So every morning week, I've been drinking this disgusting vanilla-flavoured monstrosity. It's so acrid, it's so chemically.
The chemical.
It's disgusting. So that's the life that I'm leading at the moment. I'm yet to play Breath of the Wild 2 or whatever the hell it's called. Yeah. I'm yet to download that. I have been playing quite a lot of Dead Island 2, which is coming for a very, very long time. Some of the zombie physics, like the hit the zombie over the head physics, are absolutely disgusting, Chris. Worse than this coffee. It's so gross, but so satisfying at the same time. So if you've got five while you're rendering out your bits and bobs, Chris, get it on your PS5.
I've still got to play the new Resident Evil 4 remake. The other Pete, the American Pete, wants to drag me over to his place and stream me playing it. I'd love to do it. I remember Dead Rising.
Dead Rising, was the original Xbox 360, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was
And you could turn anything into a weapon. Anything.
Yeah.
From stick to pipe to tree.
The second one was all right, one I think wasn't very good. But I think the excitement with that was just the sheer number of zombies on screen at any one time. It's fantastic.
Yeah, real sandbox style video game. But yeah, I haven't played any video games in a while. I've been making my own cold brew coffee there. While you've been Pete the passing fad Donaldson buying all the crap that people release every week in these supermarkets, I've been making my own cold brew coffee, and it's really good. Yeah. You should do it. Like I like coffee, but I don't like bitter flavours. And
right.
I find cold brew by having you grind the coffee beans down, put them in like a bit of litmus paper, stick it in a bottle of water, you know, like a 1 litre size bottle.
Yeah.
Leave it overnight for about 12 hours, and the cold water mixes with the coffee beans very slowly, draws out this nice kind of rich, fruity flavour that's not too harsh and bitter. Like, by blasting the coffee beans with hot water, I think it destroys some of the flavour. So, yeah, cold brew. Drinking that right now, you drink your chemically shite, expensive rubbish.
Does it kind of... could I not just use it to make some of my vanilla powder and just and then just stick it in the fridge for a bit? I mean, it sounds really good, Chris, but I'm scared that it wouldn't be sweet enough for old Petey.
Put some bloody sugar in it then. You'll be fine. Do it. Honestly, to be honest, it was Charla who discovered this, and she did an amazing job with it. I would never have perfected it the way she did. But it's great. It's really great. And I've been drinking it all day and all night while I edit bloody videos. oh, God, I read a story this morning. Like, we always talk about bears on this podcast.
Bears.
It's Battlestar been 1 month
Galactica.
Since we've discussed a bear. well, it's been a while since we've discussed any bear news. And I woke up this morning and the first news story I saw was the tragedy of a fisherman who'd just been beheaded by a bear.
Whoa.
And, like, there's a lake called Shumarinai Lake in Hokkaido. We cycled past it on the big cyclothon I did with Connor last year. It's quite a remote place in the north. And this one of the local guides there drove to the lake, like left the fishermen there by the lake, drove off, came back, and it was like a horror movie scene. Like he followed these tracks, and he caught sight of the bear with a mouth full of shoes.
Right,
he just saw the bear with some shoes in his mouth. Looked a little bit further down and saw like a life jacket strewn and some other things, and then he found the head of the fisherman.
That's
incredibly horribly graphic.
You don't see it very often because they always sort of run away. But I wonder how he managed to sort of startle someone to. Oh, I mean, it's pretty rough, isn't it?
Why can't we all just get along? Why can't man
Why
and
can't
bear
we just
become the best
along?
Of friends?
I just never knew that doing a Japan podcast would mean that I would have to learn. So I mean, to be honest, I say learn so much, learn so little about bears.
Well, I really want to watch that Werner Herzog, the director.
Is that the one about the
grizzly
bear
man?
The grizzly man. Yeah, it's good that. I mean, the guy, I think he was in the frame to be the bloke who Woody Harrelson played in Cheers, I think, which is quite mad.
Right, right. I know the guy, I haven't seen the documentary. I know all about it and I've seen various clips over the years. And it's about a guy in Alaska who loves the bears and spends his time getting very up close with the bears, touching bears, stroking bears. And then one day, one of his favourite bears turned on him and ate him, basically. And there's a clip in the film where Werner's like listening to the audio of that happening.
Yeah.
And it's just like the camera's just locked off on his face and his expression. But like, I think it'd be a really interesting documentary. I've been meaning to watch it for the last 18 years, but fate has stood in the way and I keep forgetting that I want to watch it. And this news story has made me want to revisit that. But there you go. Just be careful in Hokkaido.
Yeah.
Things go wrong.
They
and
do.
I feel like.
I mean, you're the host, Chris. I mean, if you're going to say beware of bears, you've got to have that kind of like capacity to vault fast to change pace. Well, in other news, we've got a blah blah blah, blah. And I can't help you with that, Chris. You scare me. You scare me when you go blank. You scare me.
Oh dear. Well, we've got a story this week from Matthias from Hamburg, Germany. He says, "Good day, cumulative Chris and patronising Pete."
Oh.
He is patronising, isn't he?
No,
he is Matthias. I agree.
No, I'm just telling you that I can't help. If you're gonna throw a curveball like man gets decapitated by bear, I can't help you.
Well, the story continues. I wanted to tell you about one particular run-in with the almighty boar. Oh God, another bloody animal
oh,
story.
Oh God,
what's we're painting
what's
Japan like
this
fucking
week?
The worst. Worst
you need to leave, Chris. Get out. Get out now. They're coming for you.
God's sake. I wanted to hear about running with a boar during my semester in Kobe in 2015. Kobe is a very unique place. Rather than spanning kilometres in every direction. Like Osaka or Tokyo, Kobe is stretched along the coast, slummed between ocean and mountain chains, meaning that no matter where you are, the forest and the mountains are never more than an hour's walk away. And that makes run-ins with the boar an extremely common occurrence. So common, in fact, that the boar is the city's official mascot. I didn't know that. One night, I took the Hankyu Express from Noko Station, coming in on the last train from Osaka. The way home led me by a huge mansion, and so I, not so leakily, snuck into a private car park that was connected to a concrete bridge. The road in and out of this bridge was flanked by almost vertical concrete walls. What is this? I reached the halfway point when on the other side of the bridge, a boar comes tumbling down the wall. My heart skipped a beat. The beast got up and was immediately taking aim at me. I started turning on the spot and kept running, praying that I could make it off the bridge and find something, anything to put me between this and this beast. At this point, said thing was galloping after me. Oh my God. Turning my head, it became clear that it was way too close for comfort and it almost caught up with me. With just a few metres between me and the boar, I thought I was done for, when suddenly this thing overtook me, took a hard right, climbed up the wall and disappeared into the shrubbery. It took a second to realise what had just happened. Once I was mentally back online, I passed the bridge in record time, sprinted through the little playground and down a long staircase, deeming myself safe. I then hear a high-pitched, grunty sound. Do a boar sound, Pete. What does a boar sound like?
I'm a boar. I reckon that's good. You know what? I reckon Pete will be listening to this and he'll sort of say, you know what? Fair dues, Pete, you've done
all
right.
The boar was there. But the sound was coming from two baby boars sitting on the curb. Aww. Since I didn't want to find out what they were waiting for, I continued my little midnight sprint all the way back to the dorm. Even on the way back, I saw several from afar and heard a couple unpleasantly close. Have a good one. Matthias from Germany, avoiding the boars. There you go. Kobe, land of the bear, land of the boars.
Yeah.
God.
That is adorable. I
mean, it's funny, like, you wouldn't think with big cities like Kobe or Kyoto like, that would be boars, but there are. Because Kyoto is sandwiched between a mountain range and you can very much just climb up it and encounter them. I don't think I've ever seen one, though.
No,
so I've
mean,
been lucky, except maybe Fukushima Wasteland.
Well, because with animals like boars and pigs and stuff, like, you do sort of go... Because Japan's such a small country, really, you're sort of like, well, there's just so much kind of like variation in the flora, the fauna, and the animals and the bits and the bobs. And you sort of go, well, like, surely, like, in a developed nation like Japan, like, these would be farmed animals, I suppose? Are these just plains where you just have these boars kicking around?
And what's bizarre is I don't recall anywhere where you can eat boar, right? You can eat anything in Japan, for better or worse. Yeah. You can drink sake with a steak in it. You can eat raw bear, God forbid, or raw horse. But I don't think I've ever had boar in Japan. And that's very weird, given it's the land of the rising boar. I mean, as we've seen here, they're roaming the streets of Kobe. So I'm surprised they haven't thought, wait a minute, these boars terrorising the neighbourhood.
Yeah.
It could be a good dinner. But people in Kobe are too obsessed with their beef, no doubt.
Let's have some bear don. Bear don for Chris, please.
Bordon.
Oh, shit.
Well, we're all smiles this week on the podcast, despite the boars. Mm. And there's a very smiley news story that I think... It's kind of like one of the stories you kind of go, oh, this is annoying. This has been picked up by every news agency.
Right.
Because it's like... ridiculous rather than something that people actually do. But take it away, Pete. What's going on in Japan?
Well, it ties in with certain countries thinking their sort of COVID response is better than others to a great extent. But they've started doing, like, smiling lessons in Japan, Chris. 37 people, including the elderly, took a smiling lesson to prepare for taking off their masks in public following 3 years of the COVID-19 pandemic. In Akabane, in Tokyo's Kita Ward, on May the 7th, somebody basically decided that they were going to set up a little kind of... a couple of hours of lessons and how to smile naturally. Kiko Kawano, 49, the smile trainer who served as the instructor of the lesson, basically said, with mask wearing having become the norm, people have had fewer opportunities to smile and more people have developed a complex about it. Moving and relaxing the facial muscles is the key to making a good smile. Participants used hand mirrors to check their smiles. And obviously... I would say that, Chris, would you say that you have a good smile or a poor smile? Because I'm certainly somebody who I've not ever appreciated smiling. Like, I don't do a lot of it. I don't do a teethy smile. But on the rare occasion where I catch myself having a proper grin, it's quite nice, isn't it? It really does lighten up the old face.
I've been just doing voiceover for Journey Across Japan. Yeah. I found if I... smile while I do the voiceover, I sound more happy and nice.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
so you don't do that.
Mesky and I are going to the blah, 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 and we're going to eat some food and it's so happy, ha. But if I'm like, oh, no, we're going to the... Like, it does... If you smile while doing a voiceover, it's good. So when I do the voiceover for my book, the Abroad Japan book, 80,000 words, maybe I'll do it through a big toothy grin, smile.
That grin is going to last
really
about 5 seconds, mate, because after that, you're going to be absolutely miserable, because that's a lot of words.
How How long does it take to do an 80,000 word audio
book? Oh, a whole week if you're only doing 25,000 words,
kidding?
Which is what I did for the Ramble book. You've got considerably more.
Are you sure? Really?
Well, it was about 4 days all in, I think.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
well,
dear.
That's not possible.
That's not
I can't
possible.
Be in a room. Surely your voice will just go.
Maybe they've got techniques for doing 80,000, but yeah,
yeah.
I found 25,000 quite. I might have done 30,000, 35,000 actually, but yeah, it's.
Surely by the end, my throat's going to be like, as I move to Sendai,
yeah,
and like,
nice.
My voice is going to be really destroyed. Oh God! Well, I certainly won't be smiling for that then.
Yeah.
But on the subject of masks, I saw a study the other day that despite Japan dropping the mask mandate for several months now, I think 80% people still wear them out and about. Although I think as summer rolls around, we should see them drop off.
Mm.
But I've been noticing there'll be a critical turning point where one day it'll go from lots of people wearing masks to no one. There'll be like a big sweeping
switch,
point,
yeah.
I think. But yeah, but it just takes a while. But will people be smiling, Pete? Will people be smiling when the masks come off? Will they embrace this ridiculous
smile
trait?
Lesson.
But like, I think this story is... It's less the story that's interesting and more that like every news story in the world, like every paper in the world was covering this ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
I think it got more exposure than the assassination attempt on Kishida, the current prime minister. I think more newspapers covered this than an assassination attempt on a head of state. Oh my God. Wacky Japan. It still delivers the views, doesn't it? We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with the stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Dawson, is there smiling? Are there built boars and bears?
Well, I mean, more of a grimace in Jamie's case, I think it's fair to say. Hello, Chris and Pete. I'm Jamie from Glasgow. I was wondering if there's a high pollen count in Japan and if either of you have been affected with allergies there. Many thanks. Keep up the good work. Jamie, high pollen count in Japan. I don't recall ever being in that situation. I'm quite... I'm a big dust guy. Dust really affects me. So I've had a few situations where my face has gone absolutely massive because of dust. but high pollen count, I don't think I've ever experienced it there, Chris. Have you?
So I was having a big swig of cold brew coffee.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Rich cold brew coffee. Cheap, reasonably priced, made in my own fridge, and not full of chemicals. Yeah, pollen's really bad, honestly. As someone who... It's funny, I never really realised this, but... Every April, my asthma would just suddenly emerge
right.
And be really bad. Like every April, I just struggle to breathe, and I wouldn't really think it through why that was. And it's clear that it's pollen. It's very much the pollen. I don't know. I think Japan planted loads of trees. There was a really bad deforestation problem centuries ago. Japan basically wiped out all their forests to build great big sweeping cities like Tokyo and Osaka. And then they were like, wait a minute, we've got no trees. So they planted loads of trees. I think they planted the wrong kind of tree, a luscious tree that led to lots of pollen. And so Japan has a really bad pollen problem now that makes the UK seem trivial. And certainly in April, like, all the hay fever tablets were sold out across the country. Like, everyone, like, they're all sold out no matter where you went because people are snapping them up because it's the worst year on record, I think, this year, or certainly in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't care about pollen. Well, I didn't, but I do now. Because when you feel like... I mean, when you feel like you're suffocating and there's a ghost, it's like... I think that's the best way to describe asthma. It feels like being suffocated by a ghost, and now I know why. It's pollen. So,
it's pollen.
Yeah, unfortunately, Jamie, it's very bad. It's very bad. And I know you have asthma, Pete, so maybe don't come to Japan in April either.
It's always like...
it's not
calm. It never affects my kind of chest. It's always in the schnoz, just and in the eyes. In the eyes and the schnoz.
It's not fun.
No.
I got one here from Mason. He says, Dear Pete and Chris, in a recent episode, you mentioned how you started a record collection. And as a fellow collector myself, I was very happy to hear this, as I've been collecting since 2019. What albums, artists have you been getting, and what cover artwork have you truly come to appreciate after purchasing it? Cheers from the Kentucky Fried State, Mason. It's a good question. What have I got, Pete? What artwork have I got? I think I noticed Journey have the most weird, trippy album artwork ever. Have you ever seen Journey's album artwork?
I mean, is like it kind of like the 70s?
Alien.
I mean, in the 70s, the album artists were very trippy and very...
Eccentric.
A lot of airbrushing. Like, airbrushing was very big in the 70s, wasn't it?
This is kind of like an Alien meets... it's very kind of like Alien and kind of... I don't know if there's elements of Buddhism or mysticism in there. It's really trippy. And I looked at it and it creeped me out, to be honest. But yeah. Well, of course, like some David Bowie, some Depeche Mode in there, some Wham, believe it or not,
nice.
To go in there. We've got everything. It's pretty good. But we're still setting up the record player. In fact, today, that is what I've been doing. As well as drinking cold brew coffee and editing, we've been setting up the record player. I'm really excited to get that going.
Are you going to be one of those kind of crazy people? Do you remember that guy who I'm obsessed with who was so much of an audiophile? He set up his own electricity pylon in the front of his garden because he didn't want to share the electricity with the rest of the neighbourhood. I do appreciate an LP, but My dog, Sammy, has taken to, when he was a younger, slightly younger dog by about a month. He very much enjoyed just chewing on every record I owned. He took down a couple of NoFX albums, Rancid album, Prince, Purple Rain, the Shenmue soundtrack, and also a lovely commemorative Far Cry 5, I think, soundtrack that somebody sent me. He really did find every last record that I owned, that I cherished.
Oh my God.
And left behind a record that my friend, last time we were in Japan, actually, he found, I don't know how he managed to do it, but he went to a record shop and he found a Rolf Harris record, and he put that in my suitcase, and then when I got to Britain, I realised he'd give me a little gift from a convicted wrongman.
How did you dispose of it?
Yeah.
Did you burn it or did you feed it to
the dog? No, it's still in my record collection. I'm not being caught putting that in the bin. That's staying exactly where it is.
Incinerated.
Yeah.
I think my favourite album artwork is for a Japanese artist, Tatsuro Yamashita. I've talked about it a lot. He's the king of city pop, and he's just got this most amazing 80s graphic artwork on the front of his cover. It's kind of like an American diner drawn in this really pop art style, and just leaps off the album cover. It's absolutely stunning. I don't know if this is going to be my new obsession. It's Ashala's as much as anyone's, because her dad has a huge record collection, and I remember we went over to her place in Victoria. We put on a Hall & Oates song. And he has these speakers that are like the size of a steam train, and it was just really cool, like listening to Hall & Oates beaming out of these like 3 meter tall speakers. I felt like I was in the recording studio with Hall & Oates. It was amazing. Our speaker's not quite as impressive because it's a Japanese apartment. I suspect the sound might probably cause some issues. We got one here from Cameron, who says, "Hey guys, I have a question. I'm planning a trip to Japan soon, and I'm wondering, should I plan all the activities beforehand or just do it when I get there? I don't know. How would you say, Pete?" How do you
I like do that. It? You're just absolutely flummoxed. I would, try and research what activities you want to do and plan beforehand, because once you get there, jet lag sets in and you kind of... But be willing to cancel, change, modify your trip at the last minute, I would say. Don't put any money down, but just, maybe just have a think about what you'd like to do on certain days. I think that's probably the best way to do it. Because at the end of the day, the weather might not be good, might be chucking it down, so feel free to chase the weather a little bit.
Yeah, no, good tips there. I'm thinking of making like a itinerary list on a website so people can see like my recommendations. I'm also a bit wary of that though, because I don't want all my viewers, listeners, all going to the same places. Holidays should be spontaneous and exciting and adventurous, and I don't want to rob people of that and have like cookie cutter sort of trips. So I don't know, we'll see, maybe I'll do it. I'd say just plan out where you want to go in terms of cities and towns, because that stuff, you should probably book the hotels in advance. Everything else, make up on the fly. But, there's some really good, like, two-week itinerary videos on YouTube these days as well for some ideas. And I'm working on one myself as well.
Why hasn't Natsuki started a little tour agency? Imagine, just Natsuki picking you up in a big bus, smashing you through the ball-strewn wildlife of Japan.
I've just been editing this, the last moments of the first episode of Journey Across Japan, which is a few days late at the moment. And we went to this ice village, like a village built out of ice. It's really quite cool. And he just spent the entirety of it just trying to burn it down. And it was a little bit unsettling. Like, at one moment, there was a place where you could roast marshmallows over a flame and eat them.
Oh, wow.
And he just sort of set fire to it, just ran around. In his own words, "It's like the Olympics," he said.
"It's like the Olympics.
Like the flaming Olympic torch, this fucking marshmallow that he nearly shoved in my face somehow." And he's got his lighter and he's going around like trying to burn things. It doesn't really work, because lighter plus ice doesn't really equal anything.
No, it doesn't really work.
But not when it's an ice palace. But I don't know if Natsuki would be the best guide. I feel like it would be, "Let's have a cigarette break," and then you would spend like most of your trip just looking for suitable smoking areas, which are few and far between these days.
Yeah.
So that's the Natsuki tour. Mm. Although I know Natsuki well, and his favourite food is either yakiniku or yakitori. So he'd be in good hands there for dinner.
If you like,
I just don't think it'd be. Yeah, it'll be a smashing good barbecue. There just wouldn't be any boar on the menu, as we've ascertained today. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. And we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Brawn Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Brawn Japan Podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broderman.
And if you're listening to this podcast, you may very well be a lover of video games. And if you are, I'd like to introduce you to VGC, a gaming podcast. From the team behind the popular gaming site Video Games Chronicle comes a gaming podcast for grown-ups, hosted by reporters Jordan Midler, Andy Robinson, Chris Scullion, and little old me, definitely not a grown-up. It's everything you need to know about games, and we're bringing you it first. Give us a try. VGC, a video games podcast. Listen wherever you get your pods, or head to lnk.to/VGC. That's lnk.to/VGC.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.